Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to the bonus part of Whiskey Congress. We got Mike Wood Jr. on the phone. Steve is laughing at me again. We've gotten rid of the Booker's because we're not drinking a whole bottle of that. I would pass out.
Jimmy Stroke Face.
I don't want to be that. But Mike, good talking to you. Let's keep going. You want to talk about Elon Musk. You know I'm an Elon Musk fan. You are not.
Mike, why are you not an Elon Musk fan? Please elaborate.
So let's just say I'm not against any individual. I'm sure Elon Musk means all the best in the world. But the idea that he is treated like some intellectual or some great achiever is just patently false. He's created one really good product, and SpaceX is doing some good work. Not going to say that it's not doing good work, but these things are not successful business. Tesla is one of the worst companies in the entire nation. It bleeds money. And the only reason it exists is because people keep dumping money into him because they believe in him in like this Iron Man character. But he comes up with these ridiculous ideas like pushing AI as a threat. Artificial intelligence is simply not a threat. Let me just make my claim on this right now. So human beings are limited by this incredible perspective where we cannot even see reality. We can only like see this little sliver of things that we perceive. And everything we know is almost entirely wrong and completely not reality at all. For example, like a bee sees the world and sees an ultraviolet light. We can't even see that. Our vision is even narrowed to this tiny little window that we process as an illusion. We are not going to create code that can run shit and achieve anything great. It's philosophically impossible. Everything that we do, it would just exemplify all of our wrong. And it's impossible for it to succeed and take over as any artificial intelligence coming for us. An example of this is a recent podcast I heard. It was really interesting. They talked about randomness. So true randomness, because of the human being's limited perspective, people cannot even write code that is capable of producing real randomness. We use other things. And one of the things we use is, believe it or not, is lava lamps. And the way that the wax flows in and out through the water allows them to create true randomness, because we're incapable of doing it. We're incapable of seeing reality, so we're incapable of creating something like that. And he just really hasn't thought it through and thinks like everything, the things that I make, they could be so great. So then it kind of encapsulates this more, that technology can do these great things that it just simply can't do.
So you're saying AI is a threat. I mean, obviously you recognize the value of it and how much
we will never even achieve artificial intelligence. The idea is ridiculous.
Well, we've already achieved it to a certain degree.
No, we haven't. We create code that you can call artificial intelligence, but you can perceive. There is no code that can create code that's better than itself. It's even philosophically impossible. It's logically flawed.
Okay. So it's
not going to be a thing. Code will only be as good as what we create. So and we can only create pretty much shit.
So backing up to Tesla.
Like, we aren't in a simulation either. He talks about that, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about that.
Shut up. I understand the claim, but the claim is premised by there being a multiverse. We haven't proved there's a multiverse, and we haven't proved there's an infinite multiverse. So shut up. It's ridiculous.
Where did Stephen Hawking come in on the multiverse? Because didn't he say there's like a...
He started to change his mind at the end, but the evidence doesn't support. I mean, it's just a concept. I don't think the evidence really supports a multiverse.
Especially
not an infinite one.
Guys, this is so beyond me.
Yeah, that's so nerd shit I could get into later on some ridiculous thing. But so Tesla is literally, this is one of my management, my master's project theses, was comparing Toyota to Tesla, because Toyota is the best run company in the world and Tesla is the worst run company in the world. They just bleed money and produce nothing.
Well, Toyota had their issues when they were having cars that were accelerating themselves and killing people.
That's not true. That didn't happen.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
What did happen?
There's no such thing. What happens if you go in your car right now, you press the brake and you press the gas? Tell me what happens.
My engine revs and my car tries to stop it.
Go in your car. Do you know what a brake stand is?
Yes.
What happens?
When you stand on a brake, you spin your tires.
Yep. Right. Does the car go forward?
It depends on how hard I push on the brake and how hard I push on the gas.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Sure it does. Come on.
No, the brakes always overpower the tires. It's impossible. So Malcolm Gladwell did this and studied it. That never happened. The people were pressing the gas. They were never pressing the brake. They were just confused about what they were doing. They were having a mental breakdown and weren't processing reality. So it's impossible. They went and they got the Mustang GT 500, the one with that had the biggest, most horsepower to brake ratio that there was. They took it up to 80 miles per hour at full throttle, stomped on the brake, the car stopped in 160 feet.
Okay, but the issue with the Toyotas was the gas pedal stuck, right?
It doesn't matter. That's not what happened. What happened was the people were pressing the gas pedal. If you would have touched the brake, the car would have stopped. It doesn't matter if the car engine runs away.
Okay.
The brakes are infinitely more powerful than the world's strongest engine in a car.
Oh, that's true. The brakes are, I mean,
if you press the brakes, the car will stop. Period.
I mean, typically, a typical car goes zero to sixty in about 6.5 seconds. A typical car goes from 60 to 0 in about 1.5 seconds. So you're right. The brakes are more powerful than the gas. So
they're infinitely more powerful.
But, well, not infinite. It's finitely more powerful.
No, even using a 650 horsepower GT 500 at full throttle, they only stopped the car like 30 feet longer than if they never would have had the gas pressed. They tested it.
Okay. So the reason I'm arguing with you is because I've dealt with
people. They just had a PR nightmare. They fucked up PR. I'm not talking about PR.
All right. I will totally nerd out if we keep going this because Toyota became the model of like, we should all be like Toyota. And in my industry, that really wasn't practical. And it won't make for good discussion for listening. But I like Elon Musk because I think he's really interesting and I think he's always doing new shit. And
he runs a pyramid scheme, though. Understand that.
He got
Tesla's
his money.
A pyramid scheme.
But here's why I disagree with you. First, have you ever been in a Tesla?
It doesn't matter that they make a good product. Their business model is a pyramid scheme.
Okay, their business model might suck. Their product is fucking amazing.
No doubt. And BMW and Ford and Chevy are about to destroy them.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I'm not necessarily.
Once they're not big enough. He can't do production, so they're done.
No, from a business perspective, I won't claim to argue. I won't argue. I don't know that enough. I will say their product
Tesla
is
not,
fucking
Tesla cars
amazing.
Will not be around. Tesla will not be producing cars in 10 years.
Okay. But what they've produced is fucking amazing.
Absolutely. What they started was amazing. But they did it at an exponential cost that. The reason that the other companies didn't do that is because they weren't bleeding money from their investors through a pyramid scheme, manipulating them into thinking they were going to get a profit that they were never going to get.
Look, I've made money betting against Tesla on futures, so I'm not.
Keep doing it.
I always wait for earnings reports, but
well, there's going to be a break. If you look at their earnings reports, they're negative hundreds of millions, literally every single year.
Yeah.
And they have more money coming in than they have billions coming in, and they're bleeding billions more out.
They are, but they're also a disruptor, right? I mean, they are pushing.
No, they're not.
Ford and
Chevy knew they weren't ready to produce at a level that was satisfactory.
So I'll jump in. My dad has worked for General Motors for a while. And they pushed out the Volt.
Right. Which is also a good vehicle.
Right.
Not as amazing as the Tesla, but
especially now, very nice now.
Right. I mean it's a good vehicle, but GM has regrets about pushing that car out. Because where GM has gone in terms of technology and figuring out them pushing that car out didn't help them at all. Right? It hurt them to a degree. Because that car wasn't nearly as successful as it was supposed to be, and what they had budgeted and what they ended up making didn't vibe, right? But they're so that what they know now, right, based off just their continued research. So had they just left it alone, right? Because it's not like the electric car market has taken off, right, and they're being left behind, right? Like so, what they know now compared to what they knew then, they would have been much better off just waiting. And GM has the production and everything already in place. Now, GM isn't the most well-run company, right? It's one of the biggest reasons why my dad has a job because what my dad does is fix their efficiency, right? Like, so he manages that, and then he helps them make money. So that's a key component to his job, which is why he understands the fact that they should have never released the vault. When they did, they should have waited until, you know, I mean, they have a next generation coming out in the next 18 months to 2 years. That's really going to be something impressive. And as do, you know, the other car manufacturers that are out there that are not only going to match what the Tesla's doing right now, right? Because the Tesla, they're boasting all these crazy speeds and these long charges and all the other stuff, which it sounds great because no one else is doing it. But everyone else is going to be doing it in the next 18 months. And they've already got the ability to, they've already got the production, they've already got the distribution, they already have all that in place. And they
Volvo and BMW already have one.
Right. And they do it way better than Tesla does it right now. And so I think he's right. I mean, just from my perspective and my father's perspective, is that you're right. I mean, Tesla probably won't be around. Musk will still be around, right? SpaceX is cool, and this whole thing of getting to Mars, and I'm sure he'll come up with something else, and eBay and PayPal, and great. But, you know, I don't know about eBay. Maybe just PayPal. Sorry.
So here's why I was calling him a disruptor. Not only, and I'm really talking about more about his interests, not just Tesla, but the idea of switching to, you know, solar and electric and getting away from internal combustion, which I know is not exclusively or even remotely exclusively his, but he's probably the biggest name in that, even if he doesn't deserve to be. And
but is it PR or is it business?
I'll give you that it's PR. What their balance sheet looks like, I don't care, because I'm not. I've bet against them more. I've made money in buying their stock. I've made more money betting against them following earnings reports. But as far as influencing the way people think about things, electric cars used to be, you know, if you buy a Prius, you know, you're buying a wussy little whatever that can go 0 to 60 in an hour and a half. And one big thing about the Volt is the Volt has an internal generator. So the Volt is not exclusively dependent on being plugged in if it runs out of power. And that's a huge advantage for that, because if I owned a Tesla, I'd be terrified to drive it sometimes, because if I go to a place that doesn't have a place for me to plug in, I'm fucked. A buddy of mine from West Virginia, he's a doctor in West Virginia, has a Tesla. I got to drive in it. He put it in self-driving mode. It is amazing. Now, from a business perspective, they might suck, and I won't attempt to argue because I don't know.
You do. I mean, we all know that they're losing money by the boatload.
Yeah, and they were also at one point getting orders by the boatload that might have changed that, and that may or may not change.
They can't fucking fill them because they don't have the fulfillment processes, and they don't have the
They fucked up plenty. I won't deny that.
And the supply chain, you know what I mean? Like, they just don't have the logistics in place. And, you know, maybe they can get it figured out, but it doesn't feel like they can, right?
Well, that's why I don't want to comment. I don't want to talk about their business capability because I don't know. I think Elon Musk as an engineer, and yes, I'm engineer biased, is a really interesting guy. He's done shit that I can only fantasize about.
But why are you discounting McLaren and Porsche? And I mean, every supercar is a hybrid now. So, like, the Porsche 918 and the Spiders and everything, they wouldn't generate the same hype without a Tesla? I don't know either.
I think Elon Musk as an individual is a fascinating guy.
Like, I don't think...
Absolutely, but very Trump-like bash.
I don't know if Elon right. Musk is actually pushing... I don't know if Elon Musk is pushing these other car manufacturers. I don't think he is.
But he's pushing ideas constantly. And the solar panels on
houses. But not to those engineers. The dude at BMW does not give a fuck what Elon Musk says.
Right. Agreed. That's so I think that these things would still, like, he says it in a cool way, I guess. But I don't think he's what is he disrupting?
Potentially if his ideas got a foothold, and people started putting solar panels on their houses that connected to batteries that
ran. Dude, that is not his idea. People
are doing that.
No.
People are putting solar panels on their houses for decades. They have not had self-contained power.
Yes, they did. They just had to make it themselves. All he has is a battery bank and a self-contained thing. Any asshole can make that.
Any asshole hasn't made it yet.
I can make it. It's only four parts. You only have a solar system. You have an inverter. You have a cell that holds the batteries. So yeah, he arranges them in a neat little aluminum box. I could do the exact same thing, and you need a converter to turn it into AC. Done.
How many people do you know?
Dude, it's electronics 101. You could go on a YouTube video. It takes you 2 seconds to learn it.
Well, I'm an engineer.
Four interchangeable parts.
I'm an engineer, and I'm still debating whether or not to put a Nest thermostat in my house because I don't want to deal with that. So
you shouldn't do that. That costs more money than you're going to save.
No, I should do it because I'm never home. And to be able to go, oh, fuck, I forgot to turn off my AC, and I'm in
New Jersey or
North Carolina, I would save money on those because I could do it remotely.
Or you don't want to heat your house while you're gone, and then you want the heat. You want a warm house when you come home. Like there's like
for someone like me, it actually does.
Oh my God, first world problem.
Yes,
no doubt.
You're goddamn right. You're goddamn right, Mike. I mean, fuck it, man. I'm not trying to. What the fuck am I trying to prove? Like sometimes I just want convenient shit. Like sometimes I want to walk into a warm house and I don't want to spend a bunch of time heating my house when I'm not fucking there. Fuck you.
I'm sorry. I grew up poor. I'll just turn the fucking.
So did I, and I'm not anymore. So I don't have to live that way. Fuck it. Damn it, Mike.
All right. So Elon Musk sucks, and you're still his fanboy because you don't care about evidence.
Oh, I love talking to you, man.
Got him.
All right, so you called him Trump-like. Let's go here, because I know you've been looking to take a piece out of me on Trump, and I'm ready for you.
Mm. I mean, I don't know so, what you're ready to get me on.
I'm just ready to give you. So you've called me a Trump delusion syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome.
It's actually a real thing now.
Okay.
They're actually diagnosing people with it.
Are they really? Okay.
Is it in the DSM-5 or 6?
Now, do you consider me to suffer from this syndrome?
Well, I mean, I jokingly say it is Trump derangement syndrome, but I just think you have a liberal media bias and don't come out of that bubble as much as you should.
Okay. I would disagree that I don't come out of that bubble because I listen to all kinds of crazy shit. I listen to Breitbart. I listen to Patriot. Now,
I hear you, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah,
you know,
that's my opinion.
Okay.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Listen, I think the one thing with Trump, with at least I think that you can look at and say certain results. Like I totally get the whole thing, right? Trump's appeal to certain people doesn't appeal to other people, right? And then it's just like, all right, well, what about the impact? What about the effect, right? And so I can look at it and just be like, you know what? I don't like his style. But there's a certain level of effectiveness, right? Like there's a certain level of effectiveness to some of the things that he does. But I mean, he's got there's some legitimate policy things that he and his administration have put in place that are legitimate threats, right?
Putting a guy who thinks coal is the future.
But again, you're identity politicking. Like, what actual policy?
Anything that removes regulations on coal.
That's an opinion and a theory.
Pause. So what I can say is one of the things he's doing with the EPA is they're removing a number of the restrictions that have been put in place in terms of building, right? And so what they're saying is, listen, I'm in real estate development. So what he's literally doing is making my job easier, right? Like he's literally, because there are certain things that because of the Trump administration, there are things that if I were still working for a private developer, there are places that I can go, I would be able to go back. Like there's a job that I left at my old company in North Carolina that we had to leave on the fucking table because of the goddamn EPA, right? And it was the dumbest thing in the world. Right, and it was because there was, I won't get into it, but with the Trump administration, they've actually changed that. So I actually shot an email to my boss and said, listen, in about 6 months, or my old boss, in about 6 months to a year, you guys need to go revisit this because this may actually be a place where you'll be able to build and put a multifamily housing structure, right? And so for my industry, it's good. But I think I see the value in doing that because when you start to chew away at just basic things like fucking green grass, right? And water and creeks and rivers, right? Like that shit is good, right? Do we agree or am I just being fucking crazy? I mean, if not, then tell me I'm fucking crazy and then I'll go be the biggest capitalist in the world and we'll just build everything everywhere and fuck grass. Am I wrong?
Well, I just require evidence of seeing that the policy has a bad result. I need to see that first because otherwise we're essentially talking about people's opinions that these things will be bad. And there's often angles where I know just from coming from a business management field that I'm like, yeah, that makes a hell of a lot of sense to do that. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's crazy. I'm not you guys.
Understood. Yeah.
General consensus.
So if I could throw my industry into the mix, I've worked in pharmaceutical manufacturing for over 20 years, and that's an industry that fairly has been given, you know, I stand by my industry. It's done a lot of good things. It's also business-driven, money-driven, and has been prone to putting that ahead of long-term, you know, human interest. And oddly, that's one of the few industries that Trump has tried to crack down on. But I can tell you, if you took away regulations from pharmaceutical manufacturing, you said you don't need to study the potential impact on this and that.
So let me just stop you, though.
Stop me.
Has he done that?
No, he hasn't. No.
Okay,
not in pharma.
So it doesn't matter.
But it does matter in other things.
Well, but I mean, so I get what Mike's saying, though, and I agree, is that we have to talk about what he is doing. So what I'm saying is, if you want, like, so you take a place like Houston, right? And Houston played fast and loose with the way that they developed that city.
Right.
Just with from a construction standpoint and a
zoning,
a planning and zoning, they played very fast and loose with it. And people have known for a long time, and they didn't, the EPA never came in there just because of the way the city developed and over a course of time. But a lot of the EPA restrictions that are in place are to prevent some of the things that ended up happening in Houston. And then what happened was Houston gets hit with a hurricane, right? And they flood, and they, it ends up causing, you know, massive issues. Now, you could say, well, there's a lot of reasons why that happened, right? But those are the sort of things that some of these regulations are put in place because you look far enough in the future and you say, this theoretically could happen, right? And it was just like, well, it hasn't happened or it hasn't happened to date. So we're not, like, let's not take that into account. It's too restrictive on business. But I think that sometimes, you know, the whole, well, you have to have evidence and proof and blah, 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 blah. Like, well, I don't necessarily have the evidence to say, but in theory, this could be a really bad thing. And in Houston, it proved to be.
Right. But if those regulations were in place, then maybe Houston wouldn't be the way it is. But more so, like, the tone of the country is what I mean. Like, we're spending all this time shitting on Trump because of things that are subjective in opinion, when the reality is that the country is actually doing really well right now. Black unemployment, he made a big speech about this. They kind of went off on a rant about this, but I agree with him. Black unemployment is at an all-time low in American history. Asian unemployment is at an all-time low. A bunch of different unemployments at an all-time low. GDP is going at this great rate. And he just signed this bill so that the FDA isn't stopping experimental drugs from being used on terminal patients, that they have a right to choose these experimental drugs and try them. And that's fucking humanitarian as hell. Can't we focus on shit like that about what's going good?
Okay, Mike, so we can be so optimistic hold on, pause. So I'll give you, absolutely give you the FDA, and that's huge. With the number of people that I know that have had to deal with various cancers and, you know, palsies and things like that, like, I get it. But come on, man. The whole black unemployment rate, China, like, these various racial group unemployment rates are really, really low. Like, I mean, you of all people who are, you know, you're data driven, like, you understand that those numbers were going down before Trump got into office. You know damn well that
course,
was going on.
But it's
that
not
was
being
going
reversed.
On.
That's
it's not
fine.
Right. It's not going backwards.
Hold
right.
On, dude, this is the course our country is on. He's not fucking it up. He's making it just as good, if not better.
Okay, I mean, if you want to say Trump,
okay, I'm not beating him up for it. I'm not beating, but don't fucking throw that in my face. like, hey, black unemployment's the lowest ever. Thank me. Like, he's literally saying it's because of me. Like, fuck you, bro. Like, this
no,
is
no. That's what you think. You're
projecting. No. He's literally you saying because he is.
No,
like,
it doesn't matter. He could be. He's a politician, dude. He could be told to do that.
People okay, and I. It, don't it, it's fine,
is
but
there
I,
such thing as, hold on,
okay,
man.
I don't have to like it though, Mike. I don't like. Don't fucking shove it down my throat. Like it's something that you've done. Right. And I'm not taking away. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm not saying it's not accurate. But come on, like
But how are you different than the Republicans when Obama said, hey, you didn't build those roads, and what he really meant versus what the right ran off and flipped and ran off with that term and made a big issue about it. We all know what the fuck he really meant, but that's because we felt he was our guy and we gave him that benefit of the doubt. We're not doing the same thing. It's like I'm standing in the middle of a twilight zone where I watched the whole narrative change in front of me just because the person in charge flipped when the real same shit's happening.
Let me try to derail the way things were going and see if I understand what you're saying. If you're saying that the media has changed their spin on what's driving what because of who's in office, yes, you're absolutely right. That happened.
But we have.
I haven't.
We've done that. Yes, of course you have. That's the thing is you weren't complaining. The thing is we're all being exposed as the hypocrites because we're being focused on identity politics and who's doing it, how it's said, and whether they're on our team or tribe versus the actual policies that are taking place. Because nobody was having principles about Obama doing way worse shit than this. All of it. If you investigate,
so what policy did he put in place that is that's reduced black unemployment?
Who, Trump?
Yes.
I mean, maybe loosening regulations would. I mean, I don't care. That's not my point. I don't care. You have to prove that he's doing something bad. I'm just saying the metrics haven't changed.
I'm not saying that, and I haven't actually said that he's done anything bad. I have some concerns about what is happening with the EPA, and I don't.
No, not you particularly.
Right,
I mean,
but what I'm saying
is narrative.
Right, and so you're talking to a broader scope, but I'm focusing on just I want to make sure that I'm trying to be objective, right? Like, and so at the same time. I can be objective about Trump, and this has been my call the whole time. I can be objective about the guy. I'll give him credit when I feel that he's doing something right. I can stay neutral when I feel that he's neutral. And if he's doing something wrong, then and if it's legitimately wrong, or even like I think that I can I, actually here's the thing, I reserve the right to say fuck it. I don't like what he said. I don't like that he said that, and I should like. That's the thing. Like, I should be allowed to criticize him for if he says something in a way that's just shitty, right? And we all agree that it's shitty, then I can call him out for it. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm attacking his policy and that I'm a hypocrite. Like, dude, you're just being a dick, right? And this guy thrives. He literally thrives on being a dick to people. Right, like so. If I don't like, I shouldn't be chastised.
That is a claim that is not supported by any evidence whatsoever. I have not seen a single person. I have not seen a single person who has known him personally who said he was a dick. Not one.
Are you kidding?
Before he was president, find me one person that said he was a dick.
All right, me. I've hated this guy since the mid.
Anyone that knew him.
Okay.
Find me one person that said he was a dick to them. Before he was president,
the people that sued him for not paying contracts.
That was his business operations. That's some fucking low level manager, bro.
All right, so none of us knew him, so we don't. I don't know him personally. None of us know him personally.
There's no evidence.
All we have. Like, okay, so I mean, but there's no evidence that Tiger Woods is a dick, right? Like, I mean, like, come on, like, we can't, like, you can't say that.
But it doesn't matter him. I'm talking about policies. Like, that's the thing is we're focused on whether it's him or Obama in the way they say it. I care about their policies.
Mike. I care about their policies, but I reserve the right to critique the way that he cut, like, the way that he presents them. I'm not attacking his policies. I'm not saying, I've never said that the country is going down in a ball of flames or that we're being set back by 100 years. Like, I understand. Understand the metrics. I understand that policy is what matters. I've said that. I've actually written it multiple times on our site. The policy is the key, and you have to prove to me first that he's fucking us over from a policy standpoint. If you want to talk about narrative and media and people's feelings, that's different. But where we're actually at as a country on things that we can measure in terms of people making money, people having viable opportunities, those sort of things, you have to prove to me that he's fucking us over in that way. He's not doing that. But I can still criticize the guy because I don't like the way that he presents or I don't like the way that he speaks. And you can't tell me that, well, just because he says it and it's shitty, you still have to accept his policies. Agreed. If the policies work, that's fine. If he's being a dick to me till my face, I can say, hey, I think he's being a dick right now. And that doesn't mean that that doesn't make me a hypocrite. How does that make me a hypocrite?
No, what I mean is that we weren't focused. We allowed all of these policies that went through the last 8 years and didn't say anything about it. And now, and I don't mean I don't mean you guys. I mean the left in general and people that are rather more liberal leaning. Just the idea of like the whole Nike thing in reality. I thought the left was banning Nike. How the fuck did the left end up supporting Nike? Trump. How the fuck did the left end up supporting James Comey? Trump. We're all caught up in this thing that is missing all the points that if we were to look at just policy and we didn't hear the media, we didn't listen to his words, we would all see that life isn't so bad and maybe we're being manipulated by a narrative that if we weren't listening to it, really wouldn't make us argue with our friends and stuff as much as we do.
All right, I'll give you that. And I'll absolutely give you that. And I'll flip it on you and I'll just say this. And I'm not saying that Trump needs to do this or has to do this or should. But if everything were all the same, right, in terms of where this country is at, everything is all the same, except for you put him, you take, even if you left him the same, right? Same hair, same shape, same skin, right? But he just, Let's just say he didn't tweet, right? If I guarantee you, and I'm not saying it because, oh, well, I hate his tweeting, but if you took away his tweeting and you left everything else the same, I guarantee you we would be in a different place from a narrative standpoint than where we are right now with the way the media reports, with the way that people actually react to him and his policies. Everything would be vastly different if he didn't, because people are able to then take those tweets, right, and then reply to them, respond to them, interpret them, screenshot them, and put all their little comments on, and then the media picks up on it, and then you know, Joe fucking Scarborough and Minka or whatever her name is, they take it one way, and then MSNBC takes it another way, and then Fox News goes to promote it, Breitbart goes to promote it, and then everybody gets all divided. And then if you just took the tweets away, right, whether they're accurate or false or whatever, if you just took them away and you took those out of the equation, I guarantee you we would be in a different place media-wise and narrative-wise than we are right now.
What say you? Yeah, man, I think if we took the tweets away, we would be at war with Russia.
Why do you say that?
What?
There would be nobody rejecting the narrative.
Please explain.
Yeah, I mean, that Twitter is his direct pathway to the people.
Agreed.
I think he largely gains more support from Twitter than he does from not being on Twitter. And I think he's able to communicate the reality of what he's doing. If it kept going through the filter of liberal media, you are trusting Jeff Bezos to tell you the truth. And I think that's nonsense.
Okay. Well, I would say that the things he tweets rattle the public narrative dramatically.
Not if you follow his Twitter. I think they do that if you are going through the filter of other people's interpretation.
All right. So when he tweeted that whoever leaked the New York Times piece was committing treason, did that happen?
He's using hyperbole, just like everyone else is using hyperbole about treason. He's talking the language of the people and the way they understand that word. He's not using the legal definition.
Okay.
Because he speaks on the people's level. He speaks like a sixth grader because America reads like a sixth grader.
I disagree with that. That's bullshit.
It's true.
I'm sorry. No, I don't buy it. That's how he speaks. That's not like...
Sure, because that's the language he's taken on, because he knows how to talk to the masses.
Okay. All right.
It's patently true.
Listen,
he's the president of the United States.
Yes, yes. I get it. I mean, listen, hey, so you said what you said about Nike, and I said, fuck you, stock prices, right? I'm saying what I'm saying about Donald Trump. You're saying, fuck you, he's the president. So we're one for one.
All right. And if you played basketball one-on-one against Steve, LeBron would be both of you. So
But okay.
Yeah, well, simultaneously.
Simultaneously. Right.
You can throw me in the mix.
But you can actually throw two basketballs in, and there's nothing that me and Mike would do. I don't think we would, either of us would score.
All right. So
he would dunk and block us at the same time.
I would I would have to get all my gumption and just try to tackle him, and maybe that would get us somewhere.
So Steve, did you get to watch the ad that Mike sent?
What
me?
Was that? Did you see it? I did.
That's real.
No. I don't believe
it's
it.
It's real.
No.
Yep.
It's real.
Mike, go ahead and describe it.
My God.
Okay.
Or I can if you want.
Yeah, you can if you have the guy's name up. It's Green.
Was it Kevin Green?
It wasn't Kevin Green. It was something Green. Kyle Green.
Kyle
Green running for Congress in Minnesota.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I wish we could, like.
So
Steve, let me
tell you how this comes to me, right? I'm in the airport yesterday. Mike texts me. I couldn't.
So I have it.
You want to try playing it?
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay. So I'm going to.
You're going to play it?
He's going to play it.
Mike, I'm just going to play it into my microphone.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah. I can't plug you in without losing Mike.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me.
All right. So while you're getting this ready, Mike texts me. I called you back because I was in the airport and I had my headphones in, whatever. And you said, don't be drinking when you watch this. And I'm thinking, if you expect me to be sober, that's a big ask. But you went, no, don't have something in your mouth while you're watching this because you'll spit it out. And unfortunately, when I called it up on YouTube, the YouTube title gave away what was going to happen. And I was still shocked.
Okay, so here we go. I'm gonna play it into the microphone now. It's buffering, of course.
Well, this is great radio.
There we go.
Hi, I'm your neighbor Kyle Green. I'm running for District 18A, State Representative. I'm not asking for you to vote for me as your leader. I'm asking for you to vote for me as your public servant. The primary duty of a state representative is to protect all the rights of his constituents. I want to be your state representative, I want to be your public servant, and I want to be your nigger.
Okay.
So.
It doesn't matter how many times I hear it. I'm like, oh, my God, he actually said it.
So here's the problem. So, like, I'm watching it. I'm like, does this dude have a lisp? Right, like, so that catches me, right? And then I'm like, so at first I think that we're having, like, a little inside joke making fun of a guy with a lisp, right? So I was like, all right, well, that's funny, but, I mean, that's not going to make me spit anything out, right? So I'm literally about to just cut the video off because I'm like, all right, it's only 30 seconds. It's stupid. The guy has a lisp. It's kind of funny. And then he drops, I want to be your nigger. And I'm like, wait. Wait,
what did
this nigga just say?
I literally said that out loud. Where were you when you saw this?
I was watching at a stoplight in my truck.
Okay, good.
But I'm just like, wait, what? So I watched it like again, and then I'm like, no, this is I refuse to believe that this is real, but it's legit. Kyle Green,
yeah,
wants to be our nigger.
Nobody has ever known the District 18A state representative from Minnesota ever.
That is true. Even people who live in District 18A in Minnesota don't know.
Right. Right. I mean, like, I don't even know what to say. I mean, good call.
You stumped
it,
Mike.
Same as you. I went in raw. I just heard somebody tell you got to listen to this.
Right.
And then I listened to it, and I was like,
what the? Did he? Why? Now I'm confused. Why? And I'm not even 100%. Like, he looks like he might be, like, mixed or something. Like,
yeah, he does look half.
Right? Like, so, like, I watched it, and I literally was sitting there. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to text. I'm not going to say anything right now. Like, I'm just going to let this marinate for a minute, and then we'll come back to it, because you have got to be shitting me. It's not even like, listen, if he were in Compton, right, whatever district Compton is.
He's a black guy in Compton.
Right, and he was just like, yo, I want to be y'all nigga. Right, then, okay.
You made it the A, not the ER, and I hate when people make that distinction, but.
Well, guess who doesn't care where you come out on the distinction?
Everybody.
No one gives a
shit. Why? If this dude is in your district, do you vote for him? I do. I laughed and I put a big smile on my face. I go, hell yeah.
I got to be honest. You know why? I don't vote for him because he actually has a lisp that I mentioned earlier.
Which is a different kind of prejudice, but okay.
Fine. I'll own it. It is what it is. Like, being racist is being less racist when you admit to it, right? Like, having a prejudice against people with a lisp, it's less prejudice if you acknowledge it. Those are the rules, according to white people. According to white people, those are the rules. So I just play by y'all's rules.
Okay. I still don't know. My curiosity is, did this commercial go public or was it like leaked?
No, I think my understanding is he just posted it on his website.
We should talk to our correspondent down in up in Minnesota.
Which is that person.
I think I went to law school with somebody who lives in Minnesota now.
Are they in District 18A?
I don't even know where they would be in Minnesota.
Why are there 18 districts in Minnesota? It would be a whole different question.
There's so many lakes, right?
There are a lot of lakes. I don't think each lake gets a district, though. The funny thing about Minnesota is the population is Minneapolis.
Aren't there three Great Lakes? Like within
In Minnesota?
Minnesota?
No, that's Michigan. Touch Michigan.
Because they've got Erie, they've got...
No, that's Michigan.
What?
Minnesota touches Huron and Superior?
They don't touch...
Erie...
No, I know they don't touch Erie, but...
So the Great Lakes are Ontario, Erie, Huron, Michigan, and Superior.
And they don't touch...
I talk about nerdy shit.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, fair.
Yeah, this went south. Let's talk about smoking flour versus whatever again. Anyway, thank you for sending that to my attention. I'm bummed that when I called it up on YouTube, it said politician uses the N-word. I'm like, okay, well, I know what's coming.
So
now.
I didn't even like. So Jim sends it to me, and then it's like, hey, did you watch it? I'm like, no, I was in the gym when I got it. Like, I'm sorry, a carb depleted. I didn't. And so after I leave the gym, he's like, hey, did you watch it? I was like, no, I just told you I was in the fucking gym. I didn't watch it. So now like I'm in my car, and like Jim has asked me multiple times if I watched it, so I was like, I need to watch it.
Or, I call that show prep or whatever.
Right, or he's gonna have a fucking stroke. So, like,
you keep rooting for me to have a stroke, by the way, which is kind of weird.
I'm not. I'm actually rooting against you, which is why I do the things to prevent you from having a stroke.
Okay, thank you.
So, I I'm in my truck. I'm going to actually go pick up food, and I throw it on while I'm sitting at the light, and literally, like, the fuck did this nigga just say? Like, are you? I actually, and I took my foot off the brake. Like, are you serious? It's fucking
wild.
And as
we discussed, Mike, the brake is more powerful than the accelerator.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I don't know. Something happened. I don't know if I buy it. Mike, listen, man, you're a bright guy. And
Malcolm Gladwell studied it. This has been proven. It's on his podcast.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, so we're sure, like, so Malcolm Gladwell, I mean, I like him. Like Outliers and all those great books.
Yeah, just do it yourself. Just drive down the street.
I get it, but I mean, like, but what if they?
Oh no!
They recalled it because these cars had a specific problem. Like, are cars that work right? Yes.
They investigated this. All the cars worked fine. There was never a problem. I promise you, this was all investigated.
If you say so, I don't know. All I know is that Toyota paid out a lot.
Yeah, look it up. I promise you. I promise.
All right.
It wouldn't be the first time that a company paid out a lot of money because they were fucking stupid.
No, they realized the PR hit they were taking and they had to deal with it. They couldn't convince the public that it was that these people were having psychological issues when there was a 911 call of a person panicking who was a cop. And people are like, well, he couldn't possibly be wrong. Of course he could. He killed his family because he was mistaking the accelerator for the brake. And how does Toyota come out and say that?
My reason for fighting back on this is we got told in my industry, we should follow the Toyota model. And I was like, okay. And then that happened. And we're like, well, maybe they're not the model. But I did not dig in deeper. I do know that some of the things they tried to produce were more about mass production, not about...
So wait, where do we come out on Toyota? They're a good company or
not? Yeah, they're a good company.
The Toyota management system or whatever is like...
The best in the world.
When it comes to producing a product, it's outstanding.
Okay.
All right.
I love their trucks, but I'm not paying
total quality management. That's what
$70,000 for a fucking Tundra. I'll just pay my $40,000 for a fucking Ram. Fuck you, Toyota.
The whiskey's
well, they're all that way.
Now, here's the difference. We've been drinking whiskey. We're getting more angry. You've been smoking pot. You're getting less angry. So this is proving again
that I'm going to go home and bust out the vape.
Okay. I'll get angry if you want me to.
All right. So
you wouldn't like me if I'm angry.
Don't send him in a whole thing. Well, I mean, whatever. I wanted to talk about something. Back to the Trump issue, and that was that Trump claimed on Twitter that the numbers from the hurricane in Puerto Rico were being inflated by Democrats to make him look bad. Now, you're right. I only got that from, you know.
So
is it true?
Is what true? That they inflated
the
numbers?
Number being inflated.
Well, the number he claimed, I think, was 64, and the number that was...
That's not what I asked.
Okay, what? All right, so the
number... Is the number being inflated?
The number came...
So, let's not do this. Yes, the number's being inflated. Yep. Period.
How numbers, is it being inflated?
Because...
This is a new method that's never been used before, and it's, yes. It's... What it is they're trying to say that all these deaths are hurricane-related, but it means something like... they lost their job and then they lost their insurance and then got injured later, and that also counts as a death. That's never been done before.
Right. I mean, unless it's not quite that bad. Although, I mean, so the attenuation and the connection and the links aren't great. And so what they're saying is that, like, a person who died 6 months after the hurricane because they didn't get their medication for a month and then their medical condition got a lot worse, and then they were never able to recover from that medical condition, and then that person died, they count on the Maria death toll.
Right. Now, and some are assumed.
That's the other thing, is that there's a lot of assumptions in terms of the deaths. And so, like, now, my argument is this. I think that we can all agree that there were more than 64 people who died directly because of that hurricane. Right. I mean, like,
agree.
All right. I mean, and so and
we said 450.
Right. I mean, in which 450 people, that's a lot of fucking people.
But
right?
Trump would agree to 450.
Now,
I think.
Here's the other part. You can sit there and you can be as pissed at Trump as you want to be because these people died. But it's not his fault. Like, it wasn't Bush's fault that all those people died in Katrina. It wasn't Trump's fault that these people died in Maria. It wasn't fucking Obama's fault that people died in Sandy, right? These are natural disasters. You can be as prepared as you want to be, but when a giant storm that comes through 100-mile-an-hour winds or even 50-mile-an-hour winds and heavy rain and heavy flooding, when that shit happens, that's fucking nature. And no matter what we build or say or do, we don't beat nature. We are 0 and 1 million against nature. Sorry, we're taking that L. Right, like, the fucked up thing that no one talks about is what happens to fucking people, like the people that are locked up in prisons in hurricane or like in places where hurricanes hit. Like, what happens to those people? How often do they get evacuated? The answer is no, they don't. And some of the prisons are well built, so they can kind of deal with it. But there are others that aren't. And there are stories, there are horror stories from Katrina and even down in Florida where. That stuff, and no one gives a shit, right? Because they're prisoners. But those are where the fucked up horror stories are. Like, those are where someone needs to be held accountable. The fact that these people died, it's very sad and it's very tragic, but it's not Trump's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It's not Obama's fault. It's just fucking nature, right? And we choose to live in these shitty places where they're very vulnerable to these sort of situations, and people die.
Agreed. To a point, or to partially, but the president or the administration is accountable for how federal-run agencies respond to disasters.
Okay, that's fine. And yeah, that's great. Fully.
Yeah,
agree.
But no president's responsible for that anyway. This is done by deep state.
So the other part is, like, we can say that, but what? How much, like, so here's the thing. A hurricane was going towards Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Puerto Rico is an island, right?
Agreed.
We all know this.
No one will argue that.
So the problem is, it's important because you're not going to go and take FEMA and put them on the island where the hurricane is. You're not going to do
that. Why not?
You can't stage it, you dumbass.
A hurricane is coming, right? Like, you can sit there all you want, but if the staging gets swept away in the fucking hurricane, guess what? Now somebody's got to come and save FEMA.
I'm not saying put them there before the hurricane.
Okay,
I'm saying,
well,
when it comes time to recover.
Else for them
okay,
to go, then, man.
Okay,
but
okay.
Nowhere.
But no, Jim, just please think about this. FEMA can't be on the island of Puerto Rico before.
Agreed.
And they can't sit there in the water off the coast while the hurricane is there.
Agreed.
Right?
Yes.
So once the hurricane passes, and it takes a little bit of time to pass, then they can
right.
go.
Yes.
Now, where we could say things were fucked up is, the, you know, the number of days in which it took to get thing to get the ships moving and all that other shit, but it was all going to take time. Now,
sure.
you can make the argument that, well, had they got there 2 days before.
No, that's
then,
not what I'm saying
whatever.
At all, but okay.
Okay, but there wasn't a lot that we were going to be able to do in terms of a readiness standpoint, right? There were things that specifically we could have done where they could have got there sooner, and they should have gotten that done. They should have.
But none of that has anything. These are all policies and practices that are established decades beforehand.
Agreed. Fully agreed. Right. And this is the first time that we had something so devastating and so bad on that island. So,
all right. So here's. We kind of got off the point that
and I
was going to make.
So here's the thing. I have a prior arrangement, so I have to jump out. Sorry, we went a little longer than anticipated.
And we started later than we anticipated to.
Right. and so mom is still in town, and I am being summoned. I apologize.
All right. So all right. Steve,
you guys keep talking.
We'll finish this up. We'll finish this up real quick. Mike, thanks so much. Good talking to you as always. We'll figure out how we're going to publish shit and always enjoy talking to you, Steve.
Wait, I want to at least hear your damn point. Let Steve leave.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's
like, leave. All right, we'll go. You don't need me.
Oh, we need you, Steve, but we'll live without you.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon,
thanks,
bud.
Steve. See ya.
My issue is more about the Trump wants to take credit for things he doesn't deserve credit for and then blame others when criticism comes back to him. I've been very clear. I don't like the man. I've watched his entire career. He was
What does every single president do, bro? Every single one has done that.
I don't think to this level.
What?
Or even close to this level.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
So Obama doesn't talk about him torturing his administration torturing Chelsea Manning. They don't prop that up, and we don't talk about that kind of shit happening. That's what I'm saying. This is all the same shit.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean torturing Chelsea Manning?
You know they tortured her, right?
The Obama administration tortured Chelsea Manning?
Yes.
To do what?
To talk about the damn when they were interrogating her. When she was in prison.
Okay. And all right, so
he's not going to talk about that. What he talks about is all of these other good things that are happening that had happened because of the previous administrations and previous policies too. They all do the exact same thing, man. Oh. Obama is out there right now talking about all these, this way of like now talking about Medicare for all, like it's a new idea.
Oh, okay, that's definitely not a new idea. I think this is, that's a totally
but that's
different
what I'm saying. We're totally missing the point that this has all been the case. They all do this. What we're not, the right wing knew this for the last 8 years. You didn't hear that message, and I didn't hear that message. And it's just the same thing flipped before when we knew that George Bush was a freaking moron. Like, that's the thing is it's all being the same. It's just a matter of which narrative that we're getting, which side of the lose or win that we're on.
Would it be fair to say that your bigger point is it's all tribalism and that when your tribe is in power, you defend their behaviors and when your
yeah, that's a big societal issue. But what I'm saying even more so, I think it's even worse with Trump. I think we've really shown that we have betrayed our principles entirely. I mean, this dude is going to get the Nobel Peace Prize for ushering in peace in North and South Korea, something that Obama said was fucking impossible.
On that issue, if it happens, and I hope it does, first of all, I have congratulated Trump for that.
I know, but this is epic.
I agree.
Epic. And it will no one's going to remember all this dumb shit. This is going to be seen as a McCarthy era. There's no Russian collusion, dude. It's not a thing.
Well, all right. First of all, I don't care about Russian.
Dude, hold on. No, I got to say this much. Go ahead. Think about this. If you investigated my friends for crimes, you are going to find a hell of a lot more than two dudes that have been over my house twice.
Let me ask two questions to you. Do you believe Russia influenced our elections in 2016 or attempted to?
No. I mean, do they attempt to influence elections?
Yes.
Do they attempt to have a global narrative?
Yes. That's my question.
Of course. Every single country attempts to have a global narrative.
Yes, I agree. Including us. I mean, we've been doing it since...
Well, we're the biggest offenders on the entire planet.
Probably true.
Right. But just because we're... Democracy doesn't work. But we install democracies around the world. That's how we manipulate things. And we do it by force.
We don't install democracies. We install governments. No, we install governments that are not democracies and they fuck up.
No, democracies fuck up. So the moment you put in a democracy, you know you fucked up. If there was a democracy in this country, Hillary Clinton would be president. We'd be at war with Russia.
I agree. If there was democracy, Hillary would be president. I don't know that we would
be
at war with
Russia. She wanted to have a no-fly zone in Syria. That would be like telling us we couldn't fly an airplane in Mexico.
All right.
And she said she was going to shoot them down. What do you think happened? All right, so
two things.
Come on, man. She's a war hawk. She's been a war hawk her entire life.
Mike, I can't stand Hillary Clinton.
She wants to. She said herself that she wanted to invade Iran. Have you seen the video of her laughing about killing Gaddafi?
I have. Look.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton, behind closed doors. Dude, I hate Hillary Clinton.
But if we had a democracy, we would be at war with Russia. That's why we don't have a democracy. Well, and that's why we install democracies around the world, because we know it will collapse. And we can come in and control shit.
If
you can control the narrative in a democracy, you win.
All right. So in my opinion, the failures in our current government, I think Donald Trump's a clown. I've said that very clearly. I mean,
that's your opinion, bro. You disagree.
I thought
that before he was actually president, and now I think I get it.
Okay. I stand by my opinion, and you're right. It is just an opinion, and everyone has one. We know that deal. But a clown
can get himself to be president against the entire media narrative and install and begin epic world peace in North Korea. An idiot can do that. An idiot can lead and get a Hall of Fame. I mean, he went from an actor to this. He was a businessman. He's taken over and risen at every field he's in. The idea to say that he's an idiot is like when people say that George Bush was an idiot when the dude can fly a fucking jet airplane.
Well, you called him a moron 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's the narrative we got, right?
That's what you called him.
No, I said we knew him as that, right?
Right,
that's
what okay. I said. All right.
We knew him as a moron.
But this is a funny narrative to me, because when you say, all right, you can't be an idiot and fly a jet airplane. Okay, I would say you can't be an idiot and be a brain surgeon. And I'll stand by that statement. However,
why? Why would you say that?
Well, you can't be an idiot and become a brain surgeon?
Is an advanced operations player.
What's that?
It's an advanced operations player. You need physical skill more than anything.
Okay. Then, all right. So,
yeah,
you have to get into a medical school.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's just not hard. It's just matters. Money and the connections. All he had to do as a brain surgeon.
I'm talking about Ben Carson.
But
right?
I'm just telling you, it's advanced surgery. It's advanced operations game. All he has to do is repeat what he's already told. He's not a researcher.
Okay, well.
He's just following procedures.
All right, so then getting on a jet airplane is just following procedures. Jet airplane flyers are also taught to follow procedures, right?
Yeah, but that's not my point. My point was you said a brain surgeon, but a brain surgeon is a terrible field to use.
Okay, but you said George Bush was, I can't call George Bush a moron because he was a pilot.
Sure.
He was taught procedures.
I don't think that's true.
What's not true about it?
I don't think driving a race car is following procedures. And I think
there are variables that come at you that you do not anticipate. Of course, we don't know how many jets George Bush flew, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But
I get to. I just don't think they're the same. I mean, it's a brain thing. I'm saying you have to have fine motor skills and follow procedure. It doesn't matter how well I can follow procedure. I can't be a brain surgeon. My fingers won't move with that delicacy.
Okay.
And the idea that his brain processes slow like that when he speaks is probably a big part of why he can do that.
Who's Ben Carson or George Bush?
Ben Carson, okay. Because if he does process things slowly, that would help you immensely on delicate work.
Interesting. I had not thought of it that way.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, I just don't think there's any reason to believe a brain surgeon's a genius.
Okay. I also don't think there's a reason to believe a jet pilot's a genius.
Yeah, I'll buy that. But they're at least very capable. I mean, you have to be a military officer and everything. And I know he gets the connection,
but it's almost athletic more than it is intellectual to me.
Yeah, for a certain part, yeah.
Okay. You know what, man? Is there another topic? I love talking to you because...
Oh, well, you know, one thing Steve was talking about was if I ever lied being a cop.
Did he say that?
Yeah, so he was asking me. And yeah, I mean, I never
lied. In our conversation or in text?
No. He's just in text.
Okay. I was like, I don't remember asking that.
And yeah, I told him no. But, you know, just for anyone else to know that we were talking about that. Yeah, I mean, I never lied as a cop. What I always did was the lie of omission.
Okay.
I think that's what a vast majority of cops do. Right. I don't think they do bad things themselves.
I have had tons of conversations about the whole, you know, good cop, bad cop, whatever. And, you know, I respect you and I consider you a good friend. A few things you've said to me that have always stuck with me is that when you hear a story, like, don't dismiss it, could be just stupidity or a mistake. And
there's a theory for that. Oh, it's kind of like Occam's razor, but there's actually a more direct one. I forget.
All right. I love Occam's razor, right? If the most simple explanation is usually the truth or most likely the truth. All right. So I'm not going to lie. The whiskey's kicking in. This is a this is a whiskey versus weed discussion because you're more lucid now than I am. The whiskey we started with was that was Booker's, which I love, but it's 130 some proof.
You start slurring your speech.
I'm not slurring yet.
No. Okay. No.
We're not far away. Are there any more topics you want to go with or?
No, I mean, we could cut it off. We can answer any questions later. I don't know. I'm just kind of weirded out about our narrative, and I don't know how to talk about it. I feel like when you talk about it, you make enemies. Like, we're not, like, culturally, we're not trying to arrive at, like, a better society. We're trying to prove that our argument for society is better.
That is a huge flaw in our society, right? You people dig in on my team has to be right, and rather than look at things logically, it's, you know, I'm a Democrat, so I suddenly, this has to be racist, this has to be wrong, or this has to be right. It fucks up thinking. I mean, the best example, in my opinion, is universal health care. Universal health care originated from a very conservative vantage point. The Heritage Society started that. And then Mitt Romney put it in place in Massachusetts. And then Obama said it, and it became socialism and Nazism, which is
one
ridiculous.
Of my great arguments for like the ridiculousness of what we're even saying, or when I say that Obama is not a liberal, I'm like, dude, he just implemented the Heritage Foundation's plan.
Okay, so I didn't have to sell you on that. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, the Heritage Foundation, and a lot of people don't know what that is, so please Google it or look it up. But it's a conservative think tank. It is like Pat Buchanan-esque 80s conservatism. And they said, this is what we should be doing with healthcare. And Romney did it. And I don't know if you know this about me. I supported Mitt Romney. I lived in Massachusetts when he ran for governor. And I was a Mitt Romney guy in Massachusetts.
I think he's a good man.
I do, too. Kind of boring. But but I agree. Generally a good guy who...
I disagree about John McCain, but...
You know, all right, let's go there for a little bit. Let's wrap it up on that. Because Steve and I had a bit of a back and forth on that. I really like and admire John McCain. Policy-wise, I don't agree with him on a lot. The reason I like him is he does, in my opinion, exactly what we've just been talking about is lacking in political discourse, is he is willing to buck the tribal mentality, or was willing to buck the tribal mentality.
I mean, I've heard that claimed. I don't know any example of
it. How about when the attempt to overturn Obamacare came out and he walked out, gave a thumbs up.
His pomp and circumstance to get reelected. No,
get reelected? You think he cares about that?
No,
he was dying.
No, thanks.
He was dying.
Yeah, it was all pomp and circumstance so he can go down to some kind of bullshit hero. He knows what the narrative is. He knows history is controlled by the victor.
All right. Well, I if he chose to go the other way.
Dude, he still calls Japanese people good. I mean,
all right, he doesn't call anyone groups. Anything anymore because he's dead, Mike. Come on.
Oh, that was too soon.
Okay, sorry.
But, I mean, there's a track record of him just – I mean, I don't ever judge people, but to judge him by his actions, man, he has done some fucked up stuff. That's all I'd say.
When I think of John McCain, I think of the 2000 election and what was done to him by Karl Rove and the Bush crowd – was revolting.
Dude, he was willing to let this country have what's her name as a president.
Sarah Palin, who's a fucking moron. Fair. Dude, Sarah Palin is a fucking moron. Well,
you
no,
trust
he got
any
he made he, that would look. Let me tell you something about me. I like Barack Obama. I like Joe Biden. So they were probably
he's
going
so
to get my
creepy.
Vote. What's that? Who
he's so creepy.
Biden?
Yes.
He's just
dude,
old
have you
and
seen
weird.
The videos, the multiple videos of him sniffing girls' hair and stuff?
I have not seen that. And
watch it. It's so creepy.
Okay. Okay. Whatever.
So
I like those guys. I have not seen those videos. They could change my mind. Having said that, had
that's
John
your
McCain, had John fine. I'll give my homework assignment back to you there, prof. but having said that, had John McCain chosen Joe Lieberman as his running mate, I would have been conflicted. When he chose Sarah Palin, I was like, okay, done. She's a dingbat. And I've been called all kinds of names for insulting her. She's a fucking dingbat and a moron. And she never flew a jet plane, so you can't even argue that with me. She did win Miss Wasilla.
Pretty, though.
Which is great. all right, so you've mocked my stand-up comedy multiple times with no hesitation.
I have not mocked your stand-up. You did it in the show. No.
You said, how are you still a comic?
Right, because I haven't heard you say anything right. funny.
So one joke I did was people wanted to vote for Sarah Palin because she was hot. I'm like, look, I don't care if my vice president's hot. I couldn't fuck Joe Biden in prison, but I'd rather have him than Sarah Palin. And voting for a president or vice president because of their physical attractiveness is ridiculous.
Oh, well.
Right?
It happens.
It does happen. But it's still ridiculous.
Yes.
Isn't it? I mean,
it's appeal to popularity. That's what happens in a democracy.
It happens in a pseudo democracy too. I mean, Trump's election is really a case study on how
we are not a pseudo democracy. We are a republic.
We are a constitutional republic with a system in place that
we are a democratic republic.
Okay, what's the difference between a constitutional republic and democratic republic?
Because we can still, or we can change the Constitution.
Okay.
All
right.
They've been breathing documents, not static.
All right. See, in my business, we do so much of what we do is based on like document what you did and explain it. And the term living document gets used all the time. And it's technically accurate depending on how you define it. But just because you put something on paper doesn't make something a good idea or even a reality. Like I'm getting into my business world right now, but if we changed to being a full democracy, like majority rules and presidents were decided by that, our country would be vastly different. I would argue it would be better. What would you say about that?
I would argue it'd be incredibly worse. The reason that we have the system set up the way it is because of the farming. It's not anything nefarious. It's because if you ended up giving the people in the cities, the coast, the say and an equal influence, then what they would do is end up voting for these things that were locked in their bubbles of what happens in urban areas. But what is most important to this country is that the food and the resources are produced, and those occur in rural areas. That is the thinking behind the system, always was from the beginning, and it has panned out to be absolutely true. Like that is what saved us from having Hillary Clinton as president. Now, we can all think that Trump is bad, but policy-wise, I think we are in a much better position. And if you didn't hear any of the narrative, everybody would have to admit that their lives are actually a little bit better in the last 2 years.
My life is basically unchanged in the last 2 years.
Okay, well, I mean, that's
one person. That's one
overall,
data point.
The numbers are undeniable.
Well, I would agree with Steve on this and say that the numbers were trending for better in terms of economics over the last 7 years, right?
But no, they were pretty stagnant.
Well, which numbers are stagnant?
GDP was pretty stagnant, and unemployment was pretty stagnant, and both have been
over the last 7 years.
Yeah. Both have been increased under Trump, but you can't even use 7 years.
Well, I'm going like give Obama a year for things to turn, and then give Trump 2 years.
What do you think Obama did that was cool? He gave a bailout to companies that should have failed, man. He used taxpayer money.
Are we talking about the banks or the car companies?
The banks and the car companies.
Well, so
Ford didn't take that shit.
That's true. They didn't. I mean, the bank thing was actually before Obama was president, because that was what led up to his election.
Doesn't matter. He still did it.
No. The bank bailout was Bush.
No, he continued. No. He took action. He took action to continue to make Bush's tax cuts permanent.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
The Bush tax cuts ended.
Were made permanent by Obama.
Okay, I will give some credence to the Bush tax cuts ended under Obama. The Republicans went nuts about
that. Yeah, because he put them in permanently. It's called the American Taxpayer Relief of 2012.
In
2013, the Bush tax cuts expired. However, on January 2nd, 2013, President Obama signed the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, which reinstated many of the tax cuts effective retroactively to January 1st permanently.
Because I don't have that in front of me, and I have
not researched. Budget deal makes permanent 82% of President Bush's tax cuts.
And what was the other 18%?
I don't know, man. It's not really relevant.
Well, it could be.
I mean, that's the nitpicky bullshit. He took action to do that. Took action. Not just let Congress do it. It's his bill.
This
is the shit
you've got me on my heels.
MSNBC won't tell you that. That's why I get mad at you.
Mike, I don't listen to MSNBC exclusively.
Well, you're not following up on it.
I don't listen to MSNBC exclusively.
But why am I coming at it differently? I mean, I am super left.
On many issues, you are super left. On many issues,
am I saying, oh, shit, Trump isn't actually doing a bad job. Everybody's just being fucking subjective.
You know, so my beef with Trump, I've been very clear about. I just despise him as a human being. I don't like the people he's put in charge of major departments, mostly involving the environment.
Why should society make laws or care about your opinion?
But my opinion is that if you put the fox in charge of the hen house, bad things happen. When you take a guy who was a coal lobbyist and say he's going to run the EPA,
I would disagree. That is a very good tactic to break out of groupthink.
Okay. We need to do this again soon, because I need to look. I need to look right now. Like I said, I'm on my heels. I'm not going to come at you with bullshit.
Well, I want to take advantage of it now. Then why?
Well, enjoy
another drink.
No, my friend. No. But seriously, I mean, look. One of the things I love about you is you are a fact and data driven person. We agree on stuff. We disagree on stuff, but we're not
What I care about most is eliminating my prejudices and biases, which influence my perspective. That's what I care about most.
Well, I think you're fact and data driven more than that.
Because those are the only things that I will allow to influence my decisions.
All right. And I consider you to be, like I said, an intellectually honest person. And that is what's lacking in a lot of conversations is intellectual honesty. And so I don't consider myself to be intellectually dishonest. If you consider me to be, call me out now. I'd love to hear where you would say that.
I think sometimes you formulate opinions having not checked the source.
That's probably fair. Hold on.
I mean, we all do that.
I formulate opinions having not checked the source. True. I also dig deeper most of the time, especially if I'm putting my, you know, my neck out.
Sure, but when any of us take our microphone, I think we have an increased responsibility to be constantly critical of ourselves when it comes to
that. True. That's absolutely true. And that is horrifyingly lacking in in real media, right? Most of the media, you are far more media, your media influence is substantially beyond anything, I am. Having said that, you and I have had many conversations where we, butted heads or agreed or had fun, whatever. But we, in my opinion, have always been intellectually honest. And maybe a big part of that is admitting when you're not fully informed. So some of the stuff you've said, I'm not fully informed on, and I won't pontificate and say, you're wrong. And, Trump ordered the murder of 85 babies that came over from, from Mexico because it made for good YouTube videos. I'm not going to say crazy shit like that.
I mean, just about the fact that he did nothing to fucking end cannabis fucking being a federal crime.
That's who, Trump, crazy, Trump or Obama?
Obama. Talk about leaving black people in the
fucking doubt. 100% agree. What he did was basically say, while I'm here, we're not going to enforce it. But he did nothing to actually end the practice.
Yeah, he still did it. He still enforced it in all their states, and the feds still enforced it. They just didn't go after the states that legalized.
Right.
They still enforced it everywhere else. He locked up hundreds of thousands of black men for a fucking crime he did.
Right. Oh, on that, Mike, we're totally, he didn't personally lock them up, but he did nothing to stop that practice. And look, there are 20
things. I don't know. At that point, I would say an act of omission is an act of commission.
Okay.
Especially when you're the first black president.
All right, so when you said they all do it, I think that's an ultimate example of that, and I think it was a total failure of Obama's in that regard. When he got reelected, he should have said, we're digging back 10 years now, but when he got elected, he had the House and the Senate, and obviously he was in the White House. He didn't do shit. He tried to play nice, and he fucked up. And then he lost the House and the Senate, and nothing happened. In my opinion, a positive way. Even Obamacare, which I thought was a step in the right direction, and I'll never forget Joe Biden, shaking his hand and whispering, this is a big fucking deal. It really wasn't, because it didn't shake up the fact that we don't have a step between private companies betting on people living or dying as our healthcare providers, which is what private insurance is. They are money-driven organizations that want to make money, guessing that you will pay them more than they will have to pay back out.
It's funneling money to the elites.
Absolutely.
It's how you do Medicare and still make sure the elites get their cut.
Agreed. And when it comes to the federal response on marijuana, Obama pussed out. I will totally agree with that. I mean, he didn't put his foot on the gas.
He only has to deschedule it. I'm not even talking about crazy shit. I'm talking about making it schedule 4.
Well, in my opinion, again, we talked about this earlier on the first part of the show and before we got online, which will get published probably because it was fun. I am drunk as shit right now. I've never smoked pot in my life. And I'm realizing that if I was high right now, I would be better off than I am. So I'm a weed legalization advocate. And I was that square. I mean, this is going to shock you. I was a nerdy, awkward kid.
Don't believe it.
Shocked, I know. Yes.
And you became a comedian.
And what I became a comedian. I'm a fucking engineer, Mike. I do comedy as a hobby. But
what did the priest do to you?
No priest ever did anything to me.
Did you tell him to stop?
Okay, you're making this more awkward than it has to be for your own amusement.
Did you tell the priest to stop?
I was never. I was. You know what, Mike? I think the fact that no priest ever came on to me hurt me more than anything.
Like, I know. I said the same thing. That's why I say now I was an altar boy. I'm like,
hey. I was an altar boy too.
I mean, my priest was even gay.
And he wanted nothing to do with you. You're not that. You're not as sexy as you think you are, Michael.
I know. I tell you what. I didn't think about that until years later. I was like, hey, wait a minute. That dude never even fucking gave me the slightest hint.
I didn't get a slap on the ass or nothing. What the fuck is wrong with me?
I rang that fucking bell on time every time.
I fucked up the bell. I didn't get any trouble. Anyway, I did fuck up the bell badly once, by the way.
I don't remember whether I did it right or not.
I fucked it up bad once. Like one of the Eucharistic minister said, like, they were a little happy with the bell. That actually happened to me.
And it's not even a funny joke at the current time.
No, it's not a joke. No, geez. I mean, I know I've told you that I've had my religious issues in the last year and a half where I've kind of said, I'm taking a break from this, and I don't want to get into a big deal on that while we're talking on the air, though I will not cut this out. I did have to tell one of my cousins that I haven't been to church in over a year, and he said he's worried about me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of worried about you. But as always, our conversations bounce around, and I fucking love it. I do need to take a whiz, and Steve isn't here.
Go take a whiz. Get out of here. I'm going to make my production sound cool, all right, and then I'll put yours in.
You do that. Thank you very much. Go make your prickly pear jam, and please send some my way.
I can't
way.
Wait to send it to you. I can't wait to try it. I'm going to send you guys a syrup, too. So you take the syrup, and you can add it to, like, margaritas and shit like that.
I haven't made a margarita in ever, but
have to
Manhattan's all the time. Oh, if there's whiskey, I'm in. Michael Wood, I love you, brother. Thank you very much. Let's talk soon. And Coleon Noir, you're still a bitch for avoiding my boy, Mike.
Oh,
yeah, I said
I'm not going to use that word, Coleon. I wish we could have a respectful discussion.
All right,
over gun control.
He is a responsible person who's being honest. I'm being that guy.
I'm not going to beat you up. I just want to talk.
Honest conversation. I won't be part of it, so I can be that asshole.
All right,
take care, brother. Later.